Hi, you're with Truth News Radio on the 10th of December 2016. My name's Hereward Fenton. Great to have you aboard. Today I'm going to look at the topic of fake news, which of course has been popping up on the mainstream media. And of course, when you read about so-called fake news in the mainstream media, you'll get a particular slant on that. What I want to do is zoom out. I want to kind of take a bigger picture view of this. And I want to look at the broader concepts of the kind of fake narrative or fake reality, indeed, that is being woven around us. And of course, those of us who are in the know, those of us who follow alternative media, know that the truth about fake news is that it is in fact the mainstream media, which is the established corporate media in league with corrupt governments, which has been the main purveyor of fake news from time immemorial. And it even goes back to the dawn of modern media with people like Edward Bernays, the father of public relations, talking about how the media constitutes a type of shadow government which manipulates people's thinking and helps them see the world correctly. In other words, guides their thinking, guides their perceptions to, on the one hand, make it easier for them to make decisions, but on the other hand, also to make it easier for the hidden government to do what it needs to do by controlling perception. Anyone who has studied history, anyone who has an interest in philosophy, has grappled with some of these questions. But the narrative that we are often presented with by these same purveyors of false information is that fake news is something that is a kind of a recent phenomenon, and that it is a product of certain websites and certain individuals who are just out there trying to deceive you for various reasons, whether it's propaganda or to sell you something. And of course, that is partially true. That does occur. But the extent to which that occurs from sources that are not establishment sources is much less so than the extent to which it occurs from the establishment itself. So they're kind of tying you up in knots. They're actually in promoting this meme of fake news. They are further confusing and pulling the wool over the eyes of people about what the difference between reality and falseness, and truth and falsehood, fakeness and realness really is. And ultimately, those interests who control the establishment media would like you to not be able to distinguish other than in ways in which they tell you. If they tell you something is real, you're meant to believe it's real. If they tell you something is false, then you're meant to believe it's false. So it really is a very serious challenge that we're engaged in. It's a very important moment in time. It's part of the ongoing struggle for freedom. But this particular point in time, the struggle for freedom in terms of internet expression really has reached perhaps its most, one of its most critical thresholds, and only time will tell. Of course, a large part of the reason why it's all coming to a head now is because the establishment media had tried with all of their force and all their might and all their NLP and hypnotism to prevent people from voting for Donald Trump in sufficient numbers to get him elected, mainly in the United States, of course. But this was a worldwide effort as well. The denigration and the smearing of Donald Trump was done as a global effort by the cartels. Of course, America is the world's largest economy, maybe only slightly ahead of China, but it's certainly the world's largest superpower. And it is also, because of its history, an incredibly important country in terms of what it symbolizes about the nature of a free society and a free market. And these are sort of concepts which are intrinsic to the generally accepted worldview that we have embraced all over the world now. Now, because of that, those who control the corporate interests need to massage the perceptions. If they want to actually control people, they have to control people within the paradigm of people believing that they are fundamentally free. Again, this is paradoxical and weird, but this is actually the way they operate. They want you to believe that you are fundamentally free, but then they want to subtly control your perceptions so that you freely and voluntarily think and do what they want you to do. Now, there's a few angles on this that are very important, and one which I want to raise, and I've spoken about this before, in relation to Facebook. Now, of course, Facebook has announced that they will no longer promote fake news through their advertising network on Facebook. And of course, if you look at the actual list of fake news, and this was published originally on the Washington Post, I mean, it contains, and this is a group that that has been promoted by the Washington Post. And there's an article here from November 24th. And they say there's a group of researchers who have investigated so-called Russian propaganda efforts to undermine American democracy and interests. One of them was Prop or Not, Propaganda or Not, a group that insists on public anonymity, which issued a report identifying more than 200 websites that, in its view, wittingly or unwittingly published or echoed Russian propaganda. Now, I'm actually looking at the list here from propornot.com, and I'll, of course, put this up on our show notes. But it contains so many websites that are, you know, certainly biased, certainly have a point of view, but to call them fake news is just utterly outrageous. So it is really stinging, slap in the face, and honestly a very scary indicator that this was promoted by the Washington Post. And just to give you an example of sites that I know that are actually good sites that I've actually referred to, opednews.com is a site that takes a lot of original articles, a lot of scholarly material. It's been around for a very long time. And of course, it takes a wide variety of views. So it will actually publish articles that advocate various conspiracy theories. But it has standards, and it doesn't let anything through. And it's not one of those trashy sites that just lets any wacky article through. So Op-Ed News is in there. PaulCraigRoberts.org is in there. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, one of the most respectable political writers on the planet, in my opinion. Of course, he's not anti-Russia, but neither is he pro-Russia. He's simply realistic about Russia and realistic about the way in which the media has completely distorted every news report we've ever had about Russia for the last couple of decades, or at least heavily since Vladimir Putin became the president of Russia. The RonPaulInstitute.org is on this website. RT.com, of course, that's the Russian news site, but it's a very respectable 24-hour news service which has the highest standards of journalism. I mean, it has good journalism covering a wide variety of topics. Of course, it's got a pro-Russia bias, but of course, we know every news organization has some kind of bias. But to simply lob this in with fake news, to say RT.com is fake news, it's just utterly disgusting, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Corbett Report, James Corbett, a well-respected alternative media person. And of course, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are in there. And Then we've got drudgereport.com, and I'm just actually having a look at that. If that is the original, yes, it's got drudgereport.com. You know, one of the largest kind of news wholesaling websites in the world is on this list. Look, this is just a list of the people that they don't like. It's incredible, really. Glenn Greenwald has written a stinging article on this, which was published on theintercept.com just yesterday on December 9. And I'll get onto the Facebook stuff in a minute too, but I'll just briefly read to you from Glenn Greenwald. The phrase fake news has exploded in usage since the election, but the term is similar to other malleable political labels such as terrorism and hate speech, because the phrase lacks any clear definition. It is essentially useless except as an instrument of propaganda and censorship. The most important fact to realize about this new term: those who most loudly denounce fake news are typically those most aggressively disseminating it. One of the most egregious examples was the recent Washington Post article hyping a new anonymous group and its disgusting blacklist of supposedly pro-Russia news outlets. A shameful article mindlessly spread by countless journalists who love to decry fake news, despite the Post article itself being centrally based on fake news. The Post this week finally added a lame editor's note acknowledging these critiques. The Post editors absurdly claimed that they did not mean to vouch for the validity of the blacklist, even though the article's key claims, were based on doing exactly that. Now, of course, one of the things that's interesting about this is that in the lead-up to the election, the worst and the most egregious fake news was being put out by the New York Times, by CNN, by NBC, and it was mainly all of these smear campaigns against Donald Trump, all of which have evaporated and were clearly nothing more than just a dirty, disgusting attempt to change the result of the election. But despite that, the people who are screaming about fake news are actually saying that the fake news that they call fake was responsible for influencing the election. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's almost a joke. I mean, here are the people who were actually involved in the most horrendous campaign of fake news trying to change the result of an election. Now, because didn't go the way they want, they're now accusing sites like InfoWars and many, many others of having affected the election through fake news. It just makes your head spin. I mean, it really does actually mess with your intellectual process trying to understand this. We're going to break with Truth News Radio. Don't go away. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. And I'm talking about fake news, trying to actually grasp the true reality of fake news, which is actually fake reality. It's actually a matrix-like reality that is being woven around us. And I just want to actually highlight three ways in which that is being done. First of all, there is the traditional way, which goes back many decades, and it harks back to people like Edward Bernays, who talked about propaganda in completely open, unabashed terms. And he talked about propaganda, and he wrote a book called Propaganda, which he used as almost like a manual to describe how people could be manipulated and their perceptions could be controlled as a good thing. So there's straightforward classical propaganda. There's also censorship, which of course has a long history and indeed goes back even much further than the 20th century. It indeed goes back to the times of the creation of the first printing presses, when the power elites in Europe at that time wanted to prevent the dissemination of information which could lead to unrest and lead to people understanding various lies and tyranny that was basically being forced upon them. And indeed, that form of censorship, which goes right back to the dawn of the modern era, actually was the beginning of what we call copyright. And this is something that I've talked about a lot on this show, which is that the concept of copyright was actually created as a form of censorship, as a form of filtering knowledge, originally in the form of printed books, to prevent just anyone from being able to get hold of a printing press and say whatever they liked. The third wing of this matrix of reality control is actually disinformation. And disinformation could be likened to a very specific type of fake news, which I would agree is real and does occur. And there's many different forms of disinformation, but one of the main features of disinformation is to just create deliberate red herrings, either things that will just distract people away from important topics, or ideas that are so absurd that they can later be used to discredit those who latch onto them and then discredit others by association. And this is another topic that I've gone into in a lot of depth on this show, and there is a lot of disagreement among many who follow alternative news as to what is and what is not disinformation. So I don't want to harp on that too much in this show. I mean, we all have some idea that there is something called disinformation. People draw the line at different points. I mean, I consider those who claim that that no one was killed at Sandy Hook to be a type of disinformation. I also consider that the idea that every time you see a contrail that persists in the sky, that you are being sprayed by an aeroplane, which is aggressively promoted by many websites, I consider that to be disinformation. But I know these ideas have been actually pushed by some news sites, even that I follow, and whose material more generally I think is okay. So disinformation creeps in all the time, and we have arguments and debates about what is and is not disinformation. But you know what? That's all fine. I mean, we can have arguments, we can have debates, as long as there is an open platform for discussion, as long as there is a level playing field, the various ideas and the various viewpoints can be pushed out, and people can vigorously, vehemently argue their case, and you, the listener, me as an individual, anyone, can simply make up their mind. And that is the beauty of the concept of democracy, because it really is what the concept of democracy is all about. Demokrasi, it is self-rule. It means that the people are not ruled, they are not governed in their thought process. There may be forms of government which are simply procedural processes, but they are not governed in terms of the way they think. We respect their ability to think and to make up their mind. And just referring actually back to another podcast I did, this is actually the essence of liberalism. Liberalism in its true sense, in its classical sense, which derives from the Enlightenment period, the 18th century in Europe, and of course in North America with the American Revolution. The basis of that is the idea that individuals are the best judge of what is good for them, not the state, not some overwhelming controlling entity. So everything devolves back to the individual, and there is an element of trust there that we respect the individual to the degree that we think the individual should be entrusted with the ability to make these decisions, and they should be able to make decisions about who they want to vote for, what they want to eat, what type of education or medicines they want to take or give to their children. And then we let the free market, based on all the choices and preferences, develop. And in many regards, that is what has happened. And the United States is one of the countries where this has happened to the most advanced degree. Of course, there's still many things wrong with it, and there are terrible problems with it. But compared to what we've got in many other parts of the world, and I assure you, compared to what you'll see in China, it's way, way better. So this question of fake news, fake reality, fake matrix, just getting back to that, we have this free market concept. We have an example in a country like the United States of the limited development of a true free market. But we also have very, very powerful vested interests, very, very rich people with very, very powerful companies who are constantly working against that trend. And they found ways to do it which are increasingly subtle. And as Aldous Huxley predicted, they found ways to do it in such a way that many people don't realize that their thought processes have been controlled. Now, I wanted to get into a little about Facebook, because one thing is Facebook has announced that they are going to block so-called fake news from their advertising networks. They're not actually blocking posts. I mean, you're not going to get your link to a Pizzagate site knocked out. That's just one example. I mean, Pizzagate is something I talked about in the last show, and it's popped up as one of the key examples of a fake news story. But anyway, there's many, many that have been labeled with that. But they're not actually going to block posts, but they're going to block advertising, which is actually one of the main ways. In fact, it's the only way that you can really make a new site or a small alternative viewpoint big. The only way you can sort of magnify yourself on Facebook is to use advertising, because Facebook has such an aggressive way of throttling news just by its default algorithm that it's very hard to get anything out. I mean, my stuff on Facebook just disappears. Many of the people who actually follow my Facebook page never see the things I post. Now, that could be because my site has been tagged as something to be downgraded, not blocked, but just downgraded, or it could just be part of the default algorithm. I mean, you have to be over a certain threshold before your posts will then be propagated to a much wider audience. Facebook actually has a way in which it, if you're already big, Facebook can help make you bigger. But if you're small, Facebook, rather than help you become bigger, is more likely to crush you. So Facebook tends to favor the kind of cartel environment we have, which, you know, so far has worked pretty well for the corporate elites, because the cartels are generally super rich and super powerful, and they work to the interests of the establishment. But over time, large news challenges to that have appeared, which can actually make use of the Facebook algorithm. And this is a problem for those who thought they were in a club where they could control everything. We are going to break here with Truth News Radio Australia. I'll be back with some more interesting insights very shortly. Don't go. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Now, I was talking before the break there about the three forms of reality control that are widely used by the establishment. And just to repeat those, there is traditional propaganda, there is traditional censorship, and there is disinformation. Now there's traditional propaganda, and then there's more sophisticated propaganda, which we've seen that that goes into techniques of persuading you to believe things, often by association, and that actually often dovetails with disinformation, because the propaganda to make you believe something is often tied to the propaganda to make you dislike something. And so when people, for example, claim that the relatives of the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre didn't cry on TV, therefore they are fake, that they are actors. And this tends to infuriate and enrage people who are closely connected with such an event, who know that it really happened. And we saw similar things in regard to 9/11, with people claiming that there were no planes, that no planes actually went into the buildings, and it was all a TV creation, it was all blue screen. And of course, many people who saw the planes go into the towers were very angry about people promoting this disinformation. And of course, this disinformation then was associated with other disinformation other viewpoints that were counter to the mainstream view of what supposedly happened on September 11. And then the propaganda effect is that you start to hate everyone who has what is called a conspiracy theory. So that, as you can see, it's propaganda is not simply straight propaganda. It is propaganda with many different levels. And there's what they call black propaganda, which is propaganda to smear your opponent or to make you question your opponent, therefore to gravitate support back to the people that you want people to support. But let's talk a little about censorship, because this is also something that is going on, but it's going on and it's being developed in a more sophisticated way, and it's actually happening below the radar for a lot of people. A lot of people don't fully understand the quite advanced state of censorship. Now, I've got an article here from, I'm just having trouble finding it. Yes, this is an article from PC World. And it is an article about an initiative that was begun by Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook several years ago. I think it launched in 2013. And it goes by the name of internet.org. Okay, if you read the promotional material put out by Facebook itself, you'll read that the purpose of internet.org is to get 4.5 billion unconnected people onto the internet. And it sounds like a wonderful philanthropic goal. And it's something I've actually covered before on this show. About a year ago, I did a show on it. A lot of people aren't fully aware of it, because if you live in the West, this is not something that is being targeted to you. It is being targeted to people in very poor countries. They tried to get it into India, but it was rejected, and I'll get into that in a minute. But now their main focus is on Africa. Now, it's called internet.org, but the way it actually works, like that's the name of the sort of the business division that they've created. It's not really the internet at all. What they've done is they've created an app, and the app is called Free Basics, and you can get this from Google Play and probably from the Apple Store as well. Now, I'm reading an article here, as I mentioned, from PC World, which goes into this in a lot of detail. So you can access Free Basics only with permission by your carrier. Free Basics is available in 38 countries, all of which are in Africa, Asia, the Middle East, and Latin America. Internet.org and Free Basics operate in countries where data use is often charged by the megabyte or by the minute. So the idea of using the internet for free can be an attractive idea to many of these users. Facebook chooses which sites are included and which are rejected, and the local carriers may get veto power as well. When users choose free basics, the carrier unplugs them from the internet and plugs them directly into Facebook's servers, a walled garden that provides the equivalent of stripped down sites, but is not the internet. Facebook runs all user requests through proxy servers, which ping the websites for data updates and other contents. And that's something probably similar to what you notice when you actually post an article, a link on Facebook, is it pulls in the meta description and an image. And quite often when you click on a link out in Facebook, if you're using a mobile device, it actually gives you a Facebook version of that website. And I think this is part of the same technological umbrella that they're using for the free basics, is that they basically just give you a windowed version of the website. And if you want to get to the actual website in a browser, you have to then click on another link that says open in, and it'll allow you to open it in your preferred browser. This, which is another example of the way Facebook is controlling and corralling your use, so that even when you try to access websites outside of Facebook, you're actually still inside Facebook. Now, if you're using the actual Free Basics app, once on the site, you're shown a list of icons representing websites. By tapping on an icon, users go to what looks like a stripped-down version of the website. For example, a news site might show the news headlines for you to click on to read the story, but the pictures might be small thumbnail versions. Internet.org claims to provide access to the internet for free, but in fact, it's not the internet that Internet.org offers. One difference is scale. There are a few dozen sites on Facebook Free Basics. For a while, there were just 38, but they're continuing to grow it. Now, this article was written about a year ago, so I'm sure it's a lot bigger now. These include Wikipedia, the Facts of Life Health site run by the United Nations Children's Fund, BBC News, a weather site, and typically a few local resources for each market. And, of course, Facebook. Actually, just out of curiosity, I'm going to just have a quick look here at Google Play. I've just typed Free Basics into Google to search on to find the Google Play page. And indeed, this is recent. Obviously, this is up to date. It says here, with Free Basics, you can connect to Facebook and other websites for free using a SIM card from a qualifying mobile operator. Stay in touch with friends and family, search for jobs, check out news and sports updates, and get health information without data charges. Free Basics includes websites like AccuWeather, Baby Center, BBC News, Dictionary.com, ESPN, Facebook, and UNICEF. And then it says websites vary by country. So as you can see, it's still, even after all this time, it's still very much a walled garden. And according to the PC World article here that I'm reading from, it says they're going to limit to about 100 sites. Now, of course, I'm reading here from the article again. The most conservative number of websites on the internet is 2 billion. So even if Free Basics were actual sites on the internet, which they're not, it would be 0.2% of the web. I think it's even less than that. Anyway, it's just a tiny, tiny, tiny drop in the ocean. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little more about this. and I'll tell you about what happened to Free Basics in India. Stay with us.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I'm talking about fake news, but also talking about in the context of what Facebook is up to with their own creation of a fake reality. And it's a type of censorship, but it's one wherein they're actually creating a fake world, a fake internet. And they're getting away with it in Africa. I mean, I've got an article here, theafricareport.com. And this is a fairly recent article, I believe. I just can't see the date on it. Google and Facebook do battle for Africa's web. Facebook's efforts to control the access of African internet users has sparked an infrastructure arms race between the internet giants. Africa's internet users are benefiting from the fact that two of the world's biggest tech companies are using their considerable means to compete over Africa's internet users. Facebook's internet.org initiative, launched in 2013, is in the pole position, controlling access to the web through its Free Basics platform. This has stung search engine giant Google to fight back and get more Africans on the open web, or risk losing its role as the internet's main search tool. Now, to its credit, Google is actually involved in building infrastructure, actually enabling people in Africa to get onto the real internet. So I can't say, you know, I can't criticize that too much, but we do know that Google does a lot of other naughty things as well. But in this case, they certainly aren't anywhere near as naughty as Facebook. Facebook opened its first African office in South Africa in 2015 and has a substantial footprint on the continent. So it says here from the article, founder Mark Zuckerberg launched the Free Basics app in September 2015 to provide access to two-thirds of the world lacking it. The Free Basics app gives users free access to a limited number of websites. And note, none of Facebook's competitors are included in that. And of course, you can be certain that websites that have been deemed as fake news now officially from groups such as the one I mentioned earlier, which are now championed by all of the establishment media, well, they don't have a snowflake's chance in hell of ever getting into the Facebook fake internet, do they? So this is an example of Facebook trying to just create this fake world while they point the finger at other people saying that, you know, you're creating fake news. They're creating a fake world, a fake universe, a Matrix-type universe. And they're doing it in places where people are very disadvantaged, unable to make clear choices and have to accept any handouts they're given because, you know, these are places where people are struggling to just get by, struggling even to find food in many cases. So this is what they're doing, folks. Now, in India, which has a stronger tradition of democracy and a better level of education, let's face it, than what you're going to find in many parts of Africa. In India, they didn't let the wool get pulled over their eyes. They, you know, they didn't fall for Zuckerberg's sleazy little trick. And this is an article from February of 2016. India's telecom regulator has officially banned the practice of charging different rates for different kinds of data over the principle of net neutrality. This means zero rating initiatives. In particular, Facebook's Free Basics platform, which offers a small set of services free of cost, will not be allowed in the country. Now, net neutrality is a very important principle. And in the past, one of the main foci of net neutrality arguments was that some providers were providing faster access or better quality access to people who were paying a higher amount. So they were actually throttling the internet for some people and giving other people fast internet. Now, that is one type of violation of net neutrality. But another type of violation of net neutrality is what Facebook is doing, which is a little more subtle and a little more deceitful, in the sense that they're actually giving something free. But in giving something free, they're actually limiting what you can get. So that is actually an erosion of the basic principle of net neutrality. And it is heartening to see that in India they have so roundly rejected it. And just reading to you this article from Mashable.com, given that a majority of the population are yet to be connected to the internet, allowing service providers to define the nature of access would be the equivalent of letting telecom service providers shape the user's internet experience. And that's a quote from the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. The new set of regulations bars any service provider from offering or charging discriminatory tariffs on the basis of content and imposes a fine on violators. While formulating the regulations, the authority has largely been guided by the principles of net neutrality, seeking to ensure that customers get unhindered and non-discriminatory access to the internet, TRAI said in its statement. Now, Facebook responded to this with a massive advertising campaign to save free basics in India, and they sent out they campaigned to its 125 million Indian users, advising them to send an email in support of its Free Basics platform. And this is an article that was actually from about a year ago, and it states here that Facebook users in India were getting notifications from friends urging them to send a pre-written message to India's telecom regulator to save Free Basics and achieve digital equality in India. The text of the message read as follows: I support digital equality for India. Free Basics provides free access to essential internet services like communication, education, healthcare, employment, farming, and more. It helps those who can't afford to pay for data or who need a little help getting started online, and it's open to all people, developers and mobile operators. With 1 billion Indian people not yet connected, shutting down Free Basics would hurt our country's most vulnerable people. I support Free Basics and digital equality for India. Thank you. Now, isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, the tactics that are being used here, the techniques, the manipulation of people's emotions with the idea that you are being given something wonderful, when in fact, I mean, just a very straightforward conservative interpretation of what Facebook is actually doing is they are actually trying to restrict people's access to the internet. And they're doing so for their own corporate benefit, by giving them a version of the internet that doesn't have anything that could compete with Facebook. They're doing it also at the behest of their crony partners, who are those who control the establishment across the board. And we're talking here about the military-industrial complex. We're talking about the pharmaceutical industries. We're talking about a plethora of corporate interests which control consumer choice, and the governments that are tied in to those corporate interests through revolving door relationships. To create a narrative about reality on almost any topic which suits their agenda. An example, an unrelated example of what's happening right now in Syria. We see the corporate fake news aggressively promoting the idea that Russia and the Syrian regime, as they call it, are engaged in some kind of massacre in the city of Aleppo, whereas all of the objective on-the-ground information shows that what they are actually doing is that they are liberating Aleppo from the grip of a bunch of thugs, a bunch of murderous psychopaths who are using the cover of a religious ideology to engage in their own power trips, but who have also been funded by the West in league with Saudi Arabia. And websites that question that narrative, websites that simply illustrate what's going on the ground, like RT.com, who has reporters in Syria, in Aleppo, are branded as fake news, when in fact they are actually reporting the facts of what is happening in Aleppo, where in fact the areas that were previously controlled by the so-called rebels, in fact extremists, now that they've been liberated, the people are fleeing into the government territory because those people were essentially hostages. But Facebook will create a reality where you never even get exposed to that. They would like to make internet.org, they would like to make free basics equivalent to the internet. So I hope this has been an interesting discussion for you. I've kind of ranged over a few topics, but I think I've nailed a few things on the head today. I look forward to talking to you again next week with Truth News Radio Australia, and I will be back to see you again next week. See you then.